Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. God said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it has blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know him and grow up in him and be ready for his appearing. Today I'm sharing a message called Abide. Jesus said to his disciples in John 15, verses 1 and 2. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 15. I'm reading verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." Verse 2. "And every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit." In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in Chapter 6, on Becoming Spiritual, on page 88, Joseph Hedgecock writes, "To be a witness, there must be fruit of the Spirit evident in you. This fruit is only produced by abiding in the vine." John 15, 1-8. "The Spirit's power was given to provide you with the ability to abide in him. It was given so you could move into the Spirit and also stay there. The Spirit will show you where Satan has access to keep you in the flesh. Then he will manifest in power as you repent of the access to give you victory over Satan. He will show you how to live in obedience to Christ. What you are speaks much louder than what you say. If the fruit of your life does not match what you say, people will not believe you are what you say you are. But if there is fruit, they can taste and see that God is good." Psalm 34 and verse 8. "This is the strongest witness of all. In the beginning of your spiritual walk, you must learn to abide in the Spirit without having to do anything. If you try to do things in the Spirit before you learn to simply be in the Spirit, you will fail every time because your spiritual foundation has not been properly laid. As you abide in the Spirit, you learn to rest in a spiritually controlled environment. It is in this place that you develop sensitivity to the Spirit and learn to be comfortable with him ministering to you and giving you simple instructions. He will show you how to grow up spiritually. It is important to rest in him as a baby Christian, because this is your safe place. The devil has no access to you when you're in the Spirit." Jesus gave the command to abide to his disciples in the upper room at a critical time when he was about to be betrayed and crucified. Those that did not fall away would get a new counselor on the day of Pentecost. Today, those born again, connected to the vine through the Holy Spirit, can testify there is no darkness in God at all. 1 John 1 and verse 5. "You will experience conviction whenever you deviate from his paths of righteousness for your life, even in the smallest details. If you do not see conviction as a blessing, you are blind, have hardened your heart, and you need eye salver." Revelation 3 and verse 18. "The Holy Spirit came to dwell and help you to get to the root issues and repent deeply in all areas. God's ways are higher than yours, so thinking is dangerous." Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Take care, therefore, you do not quench the spirit by using your mind to make decisions under pressure. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1, and reading all the way to verse 17. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Verse 3. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of a man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. Verse 4. For I know nothing of by myself, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Verse 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Verse 6. And these things, brethren, I have in figure transferred to myself and to Apollos, for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Verse 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didn't first received? Now if thou didn't receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Verse 8. Now ye are full, now ye are rich, ye have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God that ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. Verse 9. For I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. Verse 10. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honourable, but we are despised. Verse 11. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. Verse 12. And labour, working with our own hands, being reviled we bless, being persecuted we suffer it. Verse 13. Being defamed we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Verse 14. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. Verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Verse 16. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Verse 17. For this cause I have sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. The Corinthians' rejection of Paul put some pressure on Paul's spiritual foundation, but it was deep enough, as he was a master builder. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. He sent Timothy to explain to them how he lived without ever getting in the flesh, as this is what he was teaching in all the churches. The comfortable Christians had 10,000 instructors teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, prophecy and deliverance, in areas of ministry, and going backwards. In complicated situations, prove that you're a beloved son, controlled by the Spirit, by obedience to the Spirit under pressure. Paul did not judge himself, but was awake spiritually by living on the narrow way. What he endured as an apostle was also for the sake of the elect. And if you want to know where you fit into the body of Christ, be thankful in all areas. Colossians 3 and verse 15. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7 verse 19 and 20. This is Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 19. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. In these last days, small deviations from the truth in your life now will multiply into more iniquity unhindered. Revelation 22 and verse 11. The blind guides in comfortable churches think they can come to the truth with their own minds and repent. Paul learned how to rejoice in all circumstances, Philippians 4:4, where he could not before, through repentance. Obedience to the Spirit in complicated situations provided Paul with enough joy and strength. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22, I'm reading to verse 29. This is Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26. And every one that hears these sayings of mine, and does them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Verse 27. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Verse 28. And it came to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Verse 29. For he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. A Christian is someone following Christ with all their heart. They have the fruits of Christ and are Christ-like under pressure. God is shaking everything so that you can see where you are not connected to the vine in your life in these last days. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27. Do not be lazy and repent deeply when convicted. God's judgments are always positive. 1 Corinthians 11, 31 to 32. Only those in front of the judgment seat of Christ examining their fruit and using grace and truth to be more like Christ will not be judged at the great white throne. You are mature up to the level. You do not sin when the pressure increases. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, and action. Jesus also taught this to his disciples in John 15, verses 3 to 8. I'm reading John's Gospel, chapter 15, starting in verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Verse 6. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in chapter 6 on becoming spiritual, on page 88, Joseph Hedgecott writes, you abide in the new nature when you are connected to the vine and submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You are disconnected from the vine when you are in the flesh. The Bible lists specific fruit that appears when you are in Christ. If you cannot maintain godly fruit, you are not abiding in Christ consistently. If you meet God's conditions, His fruit will be produced. When you live in the flesh, ungodly fruit will be evident. Your bad fruit will hinder others who are trying to grow up spiritually, following your example. The 12 had kept themselves clear of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, Matthew 16 and verse 6, by following Christ. Meanwhile, others had already left Jesus because of the hard sayings, John 6, verse 60 and 66 to 68. Jesus warned the disciples that they would be cast forth like a branch if they did not abide after Pentecost. He will not reject you, but you can separate yourself from God by listening to the flesh and begin to wither and dry up spiritually. Wake up to righteousness, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34. Repent deeply, or you'll become spiritually dry. Without being vitally connected to Him, the devil will try to make you comfortable through your flesh and turn you into a hypocrite instead. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Jesus' teaching in John 15 about abiding is found in between a teaching on developing a love relationship through His commandments, John 14, and a teaching on the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, John 16. When you find areas where you are making excuses, repent deeply of spiritual adultery. For you to abide consistently, Jesus has to be your first love, and you need to see conviction and correction as a blessing. Jesus never set up an elite group of followers in the upper room. Everyone has an equal chance to follow Christ and crucify their own flesh. Do not wait for someone else to do this first, as they may never do it. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 4. I'm reading verse 10. For he that is entered into the rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Hebrews 4, 10 and 11 says, For he who has once entered God's rest also has ceased from the weariness and pain of human labors, just as God rested from those labors peculiarly his own. Let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter that rest of God, to know and experience it for ourselves, that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience into which those in the wilderness fell. The most miserable people on the face of the earth are those never at rest, trying to serve both the flesh and the spirit through their own unbelief. Those abiding in Christ have crucified the flesh and are living by faith in all areas. You can do that too by removing lies and the doubts you have about God. If you believe God is who He says He is, then there will be no hindrances in you coming to Him, Hebrews 11:6. If you are losing the life and power you had following Christ before, you know there is still some devilish access that you need to remove, so strive to abide. Luke 13 and verse 24. You will find rest for your souls. Matthew 11 verse 28. by acknowledging God in all your ways. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Jesus dismissed large crowds not interested in following his teaching. The Spirit of truth in your spirit will manifest to confirm that Jesus is Lord in heaven now, if you're born again. But that is not proof that you have established Jesus as Lord of your life in all areas. There is no room in the kingdom of heaven for those who just call him Lord. This includes musicians who love to entertain large crowds and encourage them to sing and dance rather than enter the narrow way. Luke 13, verse 23 to 27. Humble circumstances is a good starting point for anyone, but there is no shortcut to holiness, so make sure you stay on the way of righteousness. 2 Peter 2, verse 21 to 22. Keeping certain rules can make someone appear righteous, but the flesh will never submit to God. Romans 8 and verse 8. Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 6, verse 19 to 23. This is in the book of Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Verse 20. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things, whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You may not know in what areas you're yielding your members to the flesh, but the pressure God allows will help you identify them so that you can repent deeply with his help. By listening to the voice of your flesh, you are being rebellious in your heart. Before COVID, famous preachers with large audiences serving two masters were recorded saying from the pulpit that God gave you a brain and expects you to use it. If you cannot obey his rightly divided word of truth and get your comfort through the Spirit, then you are in the flesh. Born-again Christians living comfortable lives today with little or no pressure believe lies for the sake of their flesh. By using the gift of eternal life, you can invest in your eternal future. By learning to hear, trust, and obey the Holy Spirit under pressure. When you are in the Spirit, seek him for specific commands in areas like what time you go to bed and what you eat and whether you sit or stand, for example. Your love will grow through keeping his commands. John 14 and verse 15. A true disciple of Jesus is not passive regarding obedience. When I made a fresh start, I had to make a determined effort to seek him for specific commands. Jesus taught in John 17 verses 3 and 4. This is John chapter 17, starting in verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast gave me to do. With the gift of eternal life, you have everything you need to complete the work of the Father and do his perfect will on earth, just like Christ. Jesus did not use his divinity, but in his humanity, did everything by hearing and obeying the Spirit perfectly under pressure. You may not be very gifted, but you have a gift that allows you to share your heart with God that will make obedience through the Spirit easy in complicated situations. You will get to know Jesus personally with this gift, like in a marriage relationship. John 14 and verse 21. As a true son, let the Father provide his solutions by the Spirit. If you listen to your flesh and accept earthly wisdom, you will miss out on the resurrection power that Jesus experienced on the way to the cross. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, John 15 verses 3 and 4 says, "You are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you, the teachings I have discussed with you. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me." Godly fruit under pressure is the only assurance that you are seeking his kingdom and his righteousness consistently. Matthew 6 and verse 33. Paul told Timothy to pursue six things, including righteousness. 1 Timothy 6:11. Sin is unrighteousness and very deceiving too. So we all need exhorting. Hebrews 3 and verse 13. The fruit of abiding is not possible without some pruning and hard sayings. The devil is trying to make your life so comfortable that you give up at the first sign of pressure. The first time Jesus mentioned that he would suffer at the hands of the religious leaders, Peter reacted. Matthew 16, verses 21 and 22. The fruit that you can produce under pressure, following Christ, will bring glory to God in your life. The fruit you can produce and still keep your flesh comfortable will not. Jesus was speaking in John chapter 8, verses 31 to 34. This is John's Gospel, chapter 8, starting in verse 31. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Verse 32, And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 33, They answered him, We are Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Verse 34, Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. The word continue in Strong's is number 3306. It's a primary verb to stay in a given place, a state or relationship, or to be expectant, to abide, to continue, to dwell, endure, be present, remain, stand, or tarry. Studying what God shows you through conviction will help you hear, trust, and obey his Spirit consistently in all areas. You will not continue in the correct application of God's word if you make excuses about your own needs, for example. A good shepherd can help you recognize ways that seem right. However, to be perfect, you must not depart from the truth yourself with the help of the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote in the book of Romans, chapter 11, verses 20 to 25. This is in the book of Romans, chapter 11, starting in verse 20. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Verse 21, For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Verse 22, Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but towards thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Verse 23, And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Verse 24, If thou were cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches, be graft into their own olive tree. Verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. God is not the problem when you cannot abide. You do not need more knowledge to follow Christ. The problem is always in his people who still take matters into their own hands and use their minds to make decisions. God keeps records from every generation. So if he's still using you, it's because someone better qualified fell from grace. Everyone gets a period of time to become deeply rooted in Christ through repentance and faith, so don't become high-minded. Those still wise in their own conceits are not grafted deeply into the vine. Christ never did anything without hearing from God all the way to the cross. John 5:30. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. This is in the book of Romans chapter 6. I'm reading verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in chapter 12, on practical applications, on page 182, Joseph Hedgecott writes, the belief that you are automatically in Christ simply because you are born again is a false doctrine. When you are born again, two natures are present in you, the nature of Christ and the carnal nature, the flesh. Romans 6:16 explains the nature you're in is based on who is controlling you. The church teaching that everyone born again is automatically in Christ are deceiving themselves and others. You are either in the spirit or in the flesh. Those that abide in Christ have what they need to be righteous in all areas because they listen, trust, and obey the Holy Spirit. Those with doubts listen to their flesh and come out. So that you can get back in the vine immediately, there is now no condemnation in Christ. Romans 8 and verse 1. If you humble yourself and confess your sin, those with a depth of humility abide and do not make room for thinking in complicated situations. You have a choice not to sin if you're born again. Those still sinning are either cold or lukewarm and still have doubts about the new nature. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. This is in the book of Romans chapter 7. I'm reading verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. When his people describe themselves as wretched because they're not asking God the small things consistently in their personal lives, we will have revival. The cross of Christ represents an example of complete surrender to the mind and heart of God to make all the decisions, even in the face of death. There is no way of overcoming sin through just some knowledge of the scriptures. The only solution is to seek his kingdom and his righteousness by the Spirit on the narrow way with grace and truth before time runs out. With the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can please God in more and more areas gradually. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 57 to 58. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 to 14. This is in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. Verse 13, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. You are not under rules, but under grace to learn from your mistakes personally, and do whatever pleases God through a personal relationship with him by faith. If you are venerating someone, including a pastor or leader, or something more than your relationship with God, then you have idols. Many young believers just call Jesus Lord, but have no lasting fruit of repentance from dead works. However, with no anointed leaders or churches at the end, those with enough wisdom to stop sinning will be ready for his appearing. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 5. Jesus said to his disciples in John 16, verses 7 to 13. This is John's Gospel, chapter 16, I'm reading verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 8. And when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Verse 10. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Verse 11. Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. Verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you the things to come. At the end, only 120 were prepared to receive the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 1 and verse 15. The Holy Spirit will tell you to do something without understanding first, and faithfully grieve if you depart from the truth in the process. Even the world will recognize that you are a true disciple if you are responding to truth and conviction and coming to repentance. You do not need to pray for the Holy Spirit to do his job. The Spirit is here to help anyone and everyone repent deeply that responds to conviction, to get to the root issues and turn from their wicked ways. John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. This is in 1 John chapter 1, I'm reading verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. You can have an abundance of godly wisdom for a spiritually rich life. James 1. 5 and 6. But you have to reject natural wisdom first by denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. Luke 9 and verse 23. You do not need to explain in great detail what you're going through or say a big amen at the end of your prayers. Complicated situations work to your good if you meet the conditions. Romans 8 and verse 28. Passing through anything with God will perfect your faith. James 1 and verse 4. Those in fellowship or partnership with God chat all the time about the small things with the gift of eternal life. On God's emergency channel, you will hear the word repent, and then you know that you're walking in darkness. 1 John 1 and verse 5. James wrote in James chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. This is in the book of James chapter 2. I'm reading verse 12. So speak ye, and so do, as they shall be judged by the law of liberty. Verse 13. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. You may not appear to be moving when you are standing still, but at the equator, the Earth is spinning at about 1600 kilometers an hour. Your life is also on the move spiritually. Either you're moving towards heaven or hell at any point in time. Make sure the cross is before you and the world behind you. At the final judgment, it will be different for unbelievers, as they do not have two natures. You have the liberty to listen to the flesh or ask more questions and get answers by the Spirit in complicated situations. Make no excuses for having a good grip on eternal life. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. Or you'll be judged with the rest of the world. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 15. This is Matthew chapter 7. I'm reading verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Trial and error is a valid system of learning in this world and in the spiritual realm too, but God's ways are better. If you want to grow quicker, and you need to get on the narrow way. There are three roads described in the Bible. Number one, an obviously evil road that the world is on that leads to eternal damnation where you started. Number two, a narrow way that you have to find first and strive to enter. Number three, a broad way where you do not grow spiritually because you are always doing what you want, when you want, whenever the pressure makes your flesh uncomfortable. You may have come to Christ, but unless you found the narrow way after being born again, you are still heading for destruction. Leaders may appear like sheep, but those only hearing God in ministry are actually young wolves. Bible school is the enemy of the true church. Only those on the narrow way are qualified to teach, because they hear God clearly in complicated situations and their lives are changing. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and reading verses 22 to 26. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, love, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. Verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Verse 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You will recognize a trap early with the Holy Spirit and flee unless you have a confidence in the flesh. Joseph Hedgecock, the author of the book My Sheep Hear My Voice, taught that what you think you know will hinder you from knowing what you need to know now. Paul was teaching things hard to understand with the mind, designed to produce repentance. 2 Peter 3 and verse 16. Today, ministry positions with academic qualifications are feeding a congregation of spiritual babies with more knowledge than they need. Often they and their hearers cannot abide under pressure without sinning. Modern leaders teach things that can be understood easily with the mind, that do not produce any conviction and gender strife. Beware, as the devil can easily take someone captive at his will, that is living on the broad road. Whatever gets you out of Christ has priority for further study and deep repentance. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 6. I'm reading verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. By thinking about doing what you want when you want, you will miss God's best solutions under pressure. You should be living by every word that comes from the mouth of the Father, Matthew 4 and verse 4. If you want to go on to perfection, repent of dead works, not just bad works. The high-minded today are living by the principles of the doctrine of Christ because they don't like correction or conviction. Comfortable believers not living by faith will be left behind. Jesus taught in Luke chapter 12, verse 48. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and reading verse 48. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. You'll be given many opportunities today to reach perfection in a short time, as this world is passing away. The religious leaders that perished ran out of time because they insisted on using their minds to come to the truth. God provided the conviction they needed from crucifying their own Messiah to grow rapidly. Also for the elect, God can provide many purifying trials for those seeking a clear conscience. If the generation immediately before us is wicked, then God can provide extra grace and eyes to see the truth in complicated situations. Now every generation has no excuse for relying on an academic understanding of anything spiritual. Since Jesus died on the cross, we read in Acts chapter 17, verses 29 to 31. This is in the book of Acts chapter 17, and reading verse 29. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. Verse 30. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Verse 31. Because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. The word repent in Strong's is number 3340. Comes from two other words, means to think differently or afterwards, that is to reconsider morally or to feel compunction. You can produce the fruit of the Spirit in Christ through conviction and repentance. Everyone that's lazy has idols. New life comes through repentance. There should be an appropriate amount of transformation in your life if you're still following Christ today. If you do not process the knowledge of God that he is giving in reverence, then your life will not change. We read in Acts chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. This is in the book of Acts chapter 1. I'm reading verse 24. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. Verse 25. And that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Do not become like Judas Iscariot, who knew all the teachings of Jesus, but at the end could not accept that the cross and suffering was absolutely necessary to enter the kingdom of God on earth. Acts 14 and verse 22. By talking to the religious leaders, Judas looked for another solution and betrayed Christ in the process. Paul the apostle had to weep when he heard about believers that had become enemies of the cross of Christ by accepting earthly wisdom. Philippians 3 and verse 18. If the cross is not before you now, and the world behind you, then you're already betraying Christ in your heart. Jesus' teachings will not remain in you if you keep making decisions for the sake of your flesh. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. This is in Galatians chapter 5, and reading verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, Verse 23, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in Chapter 12 on Practical Applications, on page 182, Joseph Hitchcock writes, "As I have encouraged you to do many times, come before the Lord with this list of godly fruit. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you if this fruit manifests in your life, and if so, how bountiful your harvest is. Are you bearing a little bit of fruit or an abundance of fruit? Are some of the fruits more obvious than others? Are any of these fruits non-existent in your life, even when you are in a controlled environment? Ask your teacher to show you details about your fruit production and what you are to do to increase it. If you want a copy of these notes, please write and answer the following questions and send your answers to me. Number one, in your own words, can you explain the statement, what you think you know will hinder you from knowing what you need to know now? Number two, tell me in your own words what it means to abide in Christ. Number three, how did you respond to conviction when you started following Christ and why? Also, how do you respond to conviction now and why? If you want to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep in My Voice by Joseph Hedgecott. If you want to make a fresh start, make him Lord and live in the light, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow path, the broad road that leads to destruction looks good, and it's signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. You cannot just do what somebody else did to get the victory over sin. Jesus reminded us of what happened to Lot's wife in Luke 17 and verse 32. Those holding on to anything and not using the gift of eternal life are going to be judged with the rest of the world at the great white throne. Even if you are born again, your opinions will stop you asking more questions, and then you will fall from grace because you are not living by faith. Your righteousness depends now on doing what pleases God through a personal relationship with him by faith. Only lasting fruit is proof that you are abiding in the vine and not heading for destruction on a way that seems right. Proverbs 14:12. Father, I just commit everyone listening to this message today, as they've heard these things, and Father, you've spoken to them in different ways through different verses, that Father, they will use that as an opportunity to examine themselves and do their own study. And Father, that you will lead them into all truth by the Spirit as they yield and submit themselves to you and let you search their hearts in Jesus' precious name. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you, and thank you for listening.